Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's good because God is good. It's good because we see His faithfulness. There's been a lot of hard going on, hasn't there? And we come and we bring whatever we are, however we are feeling this morning, and we come to worship together, to be together, because He is good. You know, I had the opportunity this week to have coffee at Gateway Resources in Winkler. And there was this young man who's coming down the aisle already, you know, loudly explaining something. And this young man who works there came to sit beside me. And I asked him, you know, how's his day going? Great. I said, oh, like is something special going on today? Well, it's Tuesday. Well, is Tuesday something special for you? No, it's just that it's Tuesday. And then the person who's sitting across from him, who works with him all the time innocently, says, well, you'll be happy tomorrow too. And he says, yes, because tomorrow will be Wednesday. So today is Sunday. Tomorrow will be Monday. You know, this is good. You just don't leave there without learning something, you know? It is good. Well, it seems like we are in the thick of activity these days, including the things found in our bulletin. There's just so much going on. So let's take a look. There's some things that we just need to look at this morning. First of all, on page 3 there, under organizations, the MCI. So they're having their AGM this week, or not this week, on November 18th at 7. And there's just an urgent call to attend. They say it will be a significant time of discernment. What's the future for the school? What steps would God like us to take? So we need to pray about that. There is just an urgent call to attend, if you at all can. Secondly, just to note, this always gets me. The staff has accepted a 10% cut in salary to help the school go this year. So there's so much talk about raises. These guys have taken a 10% cut. Wow. And third, there's an open house on the 28th and 29th. So if you're at all interested, if you know families who could be sending students, let them know. Then at the very bottom, I'd just like to draw attention to this. It says SCCFV, which is South Central Committee for Family Violence, which is Genesis House in Winkler, has all kinds of opportunities to participate and to support them. One of which is when you're at hockey games, we're wearing white now in November to support the victims of domestic violence. Continuing over to page 4. To our church announcements, and if anyone has announcements that they'd like to make, I'd invite you forward, if you would come, while I'm just highlighting a few other things. As far as the church annual meeting's coming up, November 17th, right after the noon meal, if there's any personal info, Hades asking us, if there's any personal info changes that we have, if we would let her know, read about that, then that annual meeting is to be right after this noon meal, which will be potluck. So take a look at what we can bring for that meal. Then Pastor Rudy is participating in worship service this morning at Salem. I thought it was worthwhile to maybe say that Peter Zacharias is in Prince George, B.C. today, performing the funeral services this afternoon for his niece's daughter, who died of an accidental overdose just now. Please
Just wanted to mention again, next week during the Sunday School Hour, Murray and Carol Hansberger will be sharing. So please come out to that. That's going to be downstairs in the basement. Just so the Conquer Series class knows, we will be joining that class, so there will be no men's class in the Youth Hut next week. We'll continue the following week if you missed that. And yeah, so come on out, one and all, to hear Murray and Carol. They work with Wycliffe Bible translators in Papua New Guinea, and they'll be here. So come on out and hear them share.
And on that note, women's class as well will be joining them downstairs. And in the evening next Sunday, Ron Pierce is going to be coming from Empower Ministries to talk here. So, you know, next Sunday, just don't make plans. It's just, oh, we're here. Okay. Go ahead.
I just would like to ask you all to pray for Katrina again this week. Her surgery is on Thursday on the 7th. So I just wanted to ask y'all to pray. We're all a vital part of each other's lives and stories, and even if we don't feel like we're best friends with people, we are all very important to each other, and we need to continue to lift each other up. Some of you might be following her on social media. She's been very open with sharing where she is and how things are going and wanting people to be involved in her journey. And she had posted some specific prayer requests just for the, God answers prayers, and sometimes it's really nice to pray for very specific things because then he will answer very specific things. So I'll just list a couple. She has a whole page full, but things like the entire tumor to be removed, that surgeons will be calm and well-rested and focused, that they make good decisions, that they would have divinely steady hands, that she wouldn't have nightmares following the surgery, that she'd be able to get up the day after surgery, that the surgery would only last 6 to 8 hours like they have said it will. That things would go according to plan. Everyone, it obviously is all planned out and it's all well organized, but there's a lot of things that can happen. So pray that God works miracles, because we know he can, and we are all full of faith, and we want him to work wonders in her body. So keep her in prayers all week, but especially Thursday, and family as well, Dave and Erica, Avery and Teresa. It's all a big journey for all of them, so keep them all in your prayers. Thanks.
To get our thoughts going, oh, one more thing. Larry Penner. You remember him. It's hard to say Larry and little in the same sentence, but he had a grandson this week. John and Melissa Weeb had a little boy, and they named him Larry Jacob. He was born on Thursday. So congratulations to those, that family. May God bless you. So Eric is talking about God and government today. So as I was thinking about that and getting us kind of thinking about some of those things, Here's where some of my thoughts went. The verse for the week in the bulletin there is from 1 Peter 2. And at the bottom, you'll see, it ends with, honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. NIV says king. Honor the king. Honor the emperor. Like, would that be like Emperor Trudeau? I was thinking about the Canadian government and wondered, as I've often thought, what do I really know of government, especially when we just went out to vote now recently? What do I really know of what happens, what this means How am I involved? How do I make myself, get myself informed? What do I know? And that led me to this. And maybe you can relate to some of this. This is American politics, but take a look. Maybe it'll just get some of your thoughts going.
I think it's already starting.
This is how America started. It started by Abraham Lincoln was the first guy.
The first guy to do what?
The first guy sent on the earth.
Did you know that soft.
Abraham Look. Lincoln got shot in the movie theater?
No. You thought him.
This bad guy did. I don't remember his name. What do you love about Abraham Lincoln?
He took a penny.
He took a penny?
Yeah.
Did you know that Abraham Lincoln didn't like slaves?
What about Joe American Black?
Oh, yeah. The American flag stands for America.
And what are the stars for? What are the stripes for?
That's a hard question. I think it's about this war.
What do the colors represent?
Well, the colors are for money. Some people thought the world was as flat as a pancake. And George Washington didn't do that. Oh, yeah. And they made three boats called the Santa Remia. And they got to live with the Indians.
Tell me about Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, she was she was a good person, and freedom means that we don't have to follow rules.
We make a lot of assumptions too, don't we? And that's kind of where I was going with that, and I should have introduced that better for those of you who aren't familiar with this one. It is actually a kid's having a conversation, an adult speaking the words. So many assumptions, so many things we just don't know, maybe haven't taken the time to learn. Good. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we get to be just in a place of peace. There's been a lot of hard. And we pray for this time here, this worship time. Would you calm our fears in this time? Would you allow us to see you? To notice you, to spend this time without all those fears, just in this moment, without those fears that just haunt us. Without those worries that have just taken up way too much of our thought space. Would you grant us just a time of rest in you here and of learning and growing to be more like you? Amen. Please.
Good morning. You know what? It's Sunday. I like that. And you know why we're here, right? Because it's all about us. That's why we gather here on Sunday morning. I'm just kidding. It's not. It's about Jesus. It's about our King. It's about God who made a way for us through Jesus to come to him, even if we've made mistakes this week, which I guarantee probably all of you did. I don't know. We're all human, right? So whatever mistakes you've made this week, bring them to Jesus. And for the first couple songs, we're just going to fix our eyes on who he is and not who we are. I'm just going to quickly read a verse from Psalm 8. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Verse 1. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Please stand with me. We're going to sing, Great Are You, Lord. You give light, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. We're going to sing You Give Life again. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Just meditate on who he is right now. We're going to sing All the Earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
One more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, God.
The breath that we have is from the Lord. And it's only because of him that we are alive. Let's sing How Great Is Our God. Because he is great. Feel free to sit if you can't stand a long time. But if you can stand, let's praise our King. Let's start this song with our hands raised up.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
You can put your arms down if you want.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Age to age he stands.
And age to age he stands. And time is in his hands. The lion and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The lion and the lamb, the lion and the lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
How great, one more time.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Name above all names.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God.
Name above all names.
Name above all. My heart will sing how great is our God.
How great is our God.
And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
I just want to end with a thought. I was at a conference this weekend. Please take a seat. I was at a conference this weekend at CYWC, which stands for Canadian Youth Worker Community or Conference, and it was a lot of fun. And one of the speakers said there, he was talking about the body of Christ and how we talk about it as a body, and we think about a human body And he just had this really interesting thought. What if the body of Christ is more like an octopus? And the body of Christ gathers together on Sunday morning and then scatters to throughout the whole world for the rest of the week. And I think these two songs really speak to the greatness of the God that we serve and the reality, I think, that as a body that gathers together on Sunday morning, we go out through the week to show people how great this God that we serve is and to demonstrate his goodness to the people around us and his love. I just want to encourage you in that. I'm going to invite whoever's up next. Come on up.
Could I ask the ushers to come and take our offering for the morning? Thanks.
In my mother's womb, you formed me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, and when I doubted, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. And you make all things work together for your glory and for your name. There is a healing light just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now, and I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. And you make all things work together for your glory and for your name. And when I doubt it, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And when I doubt it, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. 'Cause you're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. And you make all things work together for your glory and for your name. And when I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake, 'cause you're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay.
Thanks, Tyson. There's a song that's been, I would say, sustaining me, I think, in the last little bit because of the good places that it brings me to in my thought life. It's a song by Steve Bell, and I thought it would be quite appropriate this morning. I'd invite you to just consider the words. It might end up seeping in and mean something to you as well, and I pray that that's true. Christina, would you play that, please?
My father could use a little mercy now. Fruit of his labor falls and rots slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long and he won't be around. Well, I love my father, and he could use some mercy now. My mother could use a little mercy now. She is a stranger to freedom. She's shackled to her fears and her doubts. She lives in is almost more than living will allow. Well, I love my mother, and she could use some mercy now. Church and my country could use a little mercy now. They sank into a poison pit that's gonna take forever to climb out. They bear the weight of friends and nations they betrayed and they down. I love my church and country, and they could use some mercy now.
Maybe you thought of somebody too who could use some mercy now. And maybe if you're like me, I would say, yes, I could really use some mercy now. Jesus, friends, Jesus, he deals with us mercifully. He died in our place because we found ourselves in that spot again where we really needed mercy badly. And because of that, we can sing and praise him, and because of that, we can talk to him freely. Let's pray. Our God, you see us as a group. You see us as individuals. You are the one who knows everything and still loves us. You're the one who sees us in our successes and in our miserable failures. And you still say, "Come to me. I forgive you. I'll give you rest." We stand here in front of you in complete shock and awe that this is true. And we're so thankful. God, our healer, you see Elma Kaler. Would you restore her body? You see Dave Rempel. Would you continue to completely heal his body? Would you speak words of encouragement to Erica and the family, as this involves all of them, really? And Father, you see Katrina. With that surgery coming on Thursday, Father, we pray that those surgeons' fingers would be steady, that they that their skill would be at the top and exact, and to bring even better than hoped for results for her. And would you continue to give Justin and her family what they need to do this week with her? We ask for your gentle and comforting spirit to be so evident in the rooms of Jake Rempel and Helen Jansen, and also with Werner and Marlene Entz meeting their needs in this minute. You see them too. Thank you for the gifts, the joyful gift that new babies bring. Thank you for this little Larry Jacob. Would you guide John and Melissa as they begin raising him? And as Ryan Thiessen in Mexico, Tyler Lowen in Cambodia, Laura in the Congo, the staff and orphans at Eagle's Wings in Uganda, as they all go about their day, may they sense you close, giving them what they need to do their jobs today. Maybe they're lonely or discouraged, or feel on top of the world, you see them. God, you know the kids who will be at clubs this week. Would you bless them and their leaders? God, you see the MCI and their situation. Would your guidance be strong? You see the pain of men and women who've needed to go to Genesis House. Would you heal and speak to them? And our government. Father, for those who bear that great responsibility of leadership in the nations of this world, and as they make important, life-altering for people decisions, would you give them wisdom to know your will? And whether they know it or not, would it be regard for your laws? Would it be respect for human rights? Let them lead the people in truth, in freedom, in peace, for the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, we ask these things. We pray these things, having experienced that you are strong. We've seen you strong. You can do things none of us can, and we are grateful to be here to praise you and to learn. Would you bless Eric with your words to us? May we listen well and put into practice what you ask us to, whatever comes out of this service for us, glorifying not us, but you. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
For the next two songs, we're going to sing one that lifts up the name of Jesus. And then the next one, we're going to sing a song that allows us to respond to the name of Jesus. The first song is "What a Beautiful Name," and the second one is "The River." And so we're going to sing about Jesus' wonderful name, and then we're going to experience the reality that we can bring the sins that we struggle with to him, because he is good and he can help us in those spots where we've messed up. Because on the cross, he died for our sins. He covered them with his blood, and he made a way for us to be seen as right in God's sight, which is the best news. And then he rose again, proving that he can give us new life. He's just so good. Please stand to sing "What a Beautiful Name."
You were the Word. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You have no rival, or death could not hold you. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus invites us to follow him. He doesn't say that the following will be easy. He says there will be a cost. And the first cost that comes is laying down who we are, all the things that we've done wrong, all the things that we hold highly, putting ourselves at the forefront, bringing that to him and saying, Jesus, I surrender this to you. Do what you will with it. So I invite you, if you've already prayed that prayer at some point, if you've given your life to Jesus, come and bring the things that you might not have brought to him lately. But if you have not given your life to Jesus, think about it for a while. Don't make a decision today, but think about it for a while. Is it worth following Jesus? Can I do this? Will I do this? But I hope that you do, because it is so worth it. Let's sing.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there.
In these waters,
in these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there.
Precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus. I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Come and join us in the river, come find life beyond compare. He is calling, he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling, he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus, I am ready, to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
You have a seat. Eric, would you come up, please?
God and government. When I was getting ready this morning, I was looking for a tie, and I had a choice between a bright red one and this one, and I was informed that if I wore the bright red one, I might look a little too much like a politician, so I decided to tone it down a little bit and wear this one instead. As Manitobans, we've just experienced two elections in the last couple of months within 6 weeks of each other, and I find whenever there's an election campaign, there's a lot of hype and rhetoric that takes place. And sometimes it becomes hard to distinguish between the different political parties and their candidates. We, at least I, get tired of hearing about all the dirt that is dug up on people who are running for office. The focus during the campaign seems to be more on the faults of the candidates than on their platform or what they are really trying to accomplish. I guess in a perfect world, we wouldn't need to go through this. But therein lies the dilemma. We don't live in a perfect world. None of us are perfect, so we can't expect our politicians to be perfect either. Though it does seem that is the expectation from a large portion of our society. I was thinking about this during the last couple of months of the election. I was thinking about what is my attitude toward the government and the people in power. I was thinking about how much time I spent actually praying for those people. What kind of support do I give them, considering God allowed them to be put there? And what is my role as a Christian when it comes to government? In Mark 12, 14 to 17, we read, "Teacher, these men said, 'We know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You sincerely teach the ways of God. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to the Roman government or not? Should we pay them or should we not?' Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, 'Whom are you trying to fool with your question? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you.' When they handed it to him, he asked, 'Whose picture and title are stamped on it?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. 'Well then,' Jesus said, 'give to Caesar what belongs to him. But everything that belongs to God must be given to God.' This reply completely amazed them. Now the tax they are asking about is an annual poll tax or head tax, which the Roman emperor had imposed on all the Jews since the year AD 6. That was the year that Judea became a Roman province. This tax was particularly odious to the Jews because it made them feel like they were slaves to the Romans. They didn't mind paying the temple tax because that represented submission to God as their heavenly king. But to pay taxes to Rome, meant that they were also in submission to an evil earthly king. And that really grated against their conscience. Their Messiah, they thought, was supposed to deliver them from such tyranny. So how did Jesus answer this question? Well, for Jesus to say, pay taxes to Caesar, that would make him unpopular with the people. But if he says, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, then he would be in trouble with the Roman authorities. It was a trick question, because no matter how Jesus answers, he will be in trouble. So what does he say? The coin had a picture of Caesar on it, so Jesus says, give back the things that belong to Caesar. It's his coin, so give it back to him. On the other hand, make sure you give back to God the things that belong to God. The tax money belongs to the government, but we belong to God. Why do we belong to God? Whose image is on every human being? That's right. We all bear the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them with himself. Male and female, he created them. We have a responsibility to both God and our government. I have a statement here I'd like you to ponder on a little bit. Our faith compels us to fulfill our obligations to the government. Our faith also obligates us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God, worshiping him alone. As a Christian, it is our duty to be a good and responsible citizen. Now, according to Open Doors Ministry, which serves the persecuted church worldwide, Chinese government officials became so fed up with sky-high rates of crime, drug addiction, and sickness in the county of Lankan-Lehu, Yunnan province, that in the mid-1990s, they turned for help to the only model citizens in the area, the Christians. We had to admit that the Lehu people were a dead loss because of their addiction to opium, confessed one official who did not want to be named. Their addiction made them weak and sick. Then they would go to one of their priests who required animal sacrifices of such extravagance that the people became poor. And because they were so poor, they stole from each other and law and order deteriorated. It was a vicious cycle that no amount of government propaganda could break. We noticed, however, that in some villages in the county, the Lehu were prosperous and peace-loving. There was no drug problem or any stealing or social order problems. Households had a plentiful supply of pigs, oxen, and chickens. So we commissioned a survey to find out why these villages were so different. To our astonishment and embarrassment, we discovered the key factor was that these villages had a majority of Christians in them. Officials then launched a daring experiment in 1998, the likes of which would have been unthinkable in China 10 years earlier and would, in all likelihood, not happen today. They sponsored Christians to go into troublesome villages and share their faith. They started by picking out the worst village, which had 240 people in it. Of those 240 people, 107 of them were hopelessly addicted to opium. Christians from Lehu were bused into the village at government expense, and the villagers were herded together by the police and made to listen to the testimonies of the Christians. It's pretty hard to comprehend to believe that the Chinese would actually do that. A year later, there were 17 converts in the village, and they began to grow rich because they stopped spending their money on drugs. 8 of the 17 converts even had enough to own sewing machines and start small businesses. By early 2002, 83 of the villagers were Christians, and their prosperity had spread. The government official said, "We are delighted with the results and have been extending the tactic to many other villages since then." These Christians were model citizens, even in a country where the government opposed their values. And that's what Christ wants us to be wherever we are. because it brings glory to him. So pay your taxes, obey the laws of the land, and pray for your government officials. Even if we don't always respect those in office, we must respect the office itself. That's what I sometimes find hard to do, to respect those in office. I lose respect for those who don't govern the way I think they should. I fail to uphold them in prayer because I don't like what they're doing. I speak negatively about them, not taking into account everything that they are going through. I'm forgetting that God has allowed them to be put there for a purpose. In Romans 13, it speaks specifically about governments and the fact that they have been put there by God. I'll just take a moment to read that. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God, so those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. For the authorities do not frighten people who are doing right, but they frighten those who are doing wrong. So do what they say and you will get along well. The authorities are sent by God to help you, but if you are doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. So you must obey the government for two reasons, to keep from being punished and to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too for those same reasons. For government workers need to be paid so they can keep on doing the work God intended them to do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and import duties and give respect and honor to all to whom it is due. So this speaks specifically about the role of the government and the fact that they have been put there by God. So how do we reconcile the fact that there are some governments who seem to contradict God's laws? Millions of Christians in history and many around the world today have lived under civil authorities that forbid them to do what the Bible commands or that command them to do what the Bible forbids. Governments, as Romans 13 says, have been put into place for a reason. Let's first look at why they are there and then look at how to deal with them when their actions don't coincide with what the Bible teaches. Governments have been put in place for the good of the people. They are there to maintain law and order in the country. Their role is such that when they follow the moral laws that God set out for us, it should be easy for us to obey them as well. If we obey the laws of the land, we have nothing to fear. If we break the laws of the land, we can expect to be punished. In North America, we've been fortunate to have democratically elected officials who, for the most part, have followed these God-given laws. It does, however, seem that some of these laws, which we always took for granted were black and white, are becoming grayer all the time. In Canada, it used to be illegal to use marijuana. That's been legalized now. We don't know what the long-term impact on this will be on society, but we do know that it does have a negative effect on our bodies and our minds. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we read, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We as Christians are going to have to examine ourselves, our principles, our beliefs, and our faith in Jesus Christ to determine how we are going to deal with the more liberal laws that are becoming a part of our country. How far are we willing to go to stand up for what we believe is right? Where is that fine line? And sometimes that line isn't very fine, that determines whether we obey the government or we obey God. On one hand, it seems rather simple. We have been given the Bible to help us determine what is right and wrong. We have examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament telling us what we should and shouldn't do. We have Jesus Christ, who lived here on earth and encountered the establishment of that day many different times. The answers he came up with when questioned by the government officials of that time were often astounding, to those who heard them. On the other hand, we are being bombarded with people telling us how we have to live, who and what we have to accept, what we can and can't do. Notice I said people. People who are imperfect. They are often self-seeking individuals whose purpose in life is usually not aligned with teachings of Scripture or the life of Jesus Christ. These people can and do have an influence in our government and the laws that they make. They may even be a part of the government. This, in turn, affects how we as Christians determine whether we obey the government or whether we obey God. In Acts 5, verse 29, it says, "But Peter and the apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than human authority.'" If we look at the context of this verse, we see that the temple guards had arrested Peter and the apostles and brought them before the high priest and his officials. These were the rulers of that day. They had specifically told Peter and the apostles to stop preaching and teaching about Jesus to the people. The temple guards had gone and arrested them and put them in jail. The angel of the Lord had come into the jail overnight and freed them. Their instructions from the angel in verse 20 had been to go to the temple and give the people this message of life. That's what they were doing when they were again arrested and brought before the council. Peter stands up to the government of that day by insisting that God is their ultimate authority and he will not listen to them when it comes to telling the story of Jesus Christ. He becomes even bolder when he says in verses 30 to 32, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by crucifying him. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this to give the people of Israel the opportunity to turn from their sins and to turn to God so that their sins would be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him." Not surprising, after that speech, the council members became very mad and wanted to kill them. Peter and the apostles' lives were spared when a Pharisee named Gamaliel convinced them not to kill them, but to let them go. He gave the council members some pretty good advice in verses 30 and 39. "So my advice is, leave these men alone. If they are teaching and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop them. You may even find yourself fighting against God." This should be some comfort for us if we find ourselves in a situation where we have to choose between obeying the government and obeying God. Knowing that the power of God is with us when we stand up for him should help us to be brave and take a stand for what we believe is the truth. We have various types of governments in the different countries of our world. Some of them are morally corrupt. Some are dictatorships. Some are democracies. Other people experience communism or fascism or other governments where their rights and freedoms are limited or non-existent. God never said our life would be easy. In John 16:33, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is another promise we have. Jesus Christ is always with us and watching over us. He is there when we need to make difficult decisions. The Holy Spirit is in our heart, helping us determine what is right and wrong. It becomes harder to see the truth when all around us the world is turning what we thought used to be sin into acceptable behavior. It is incumbent for us to be mindful of what our governments are trying to do and to be willing to speak up. Willing to speak up if it goes against what we believe, what they are teaching or trying to do. We have the freedom in our country to speak our minds. We can talk about politics. We can talk about politicians without fear of repercussions. That can't be done in every country. Are we thankful for that? We take this privilege for granted because we've always had that freedom. I think most of us have always had that freedom. Some of the older people possibly not. But with what's happening in our country and the U.S., the day may come when we no longer have that privilege. Sadly, partly because of the freedom we have, much of the political discourse today is disrespectful, caustic, and even filled with hate. As Christians, we have the right to voice our opinions just like everyone else, but it should never be done with a hateful tone. Our voices should be heard if there is respect and honor toward that person, even if we don't necessarily agree with their viewpoint. Our voices shouldn't be heard if they are filled with disrespect, and especially if there is hatred or malice in them. A Christian's discussion of politics should have no place for name-calling or hateful rhetoric. This is not only right, it is also wise. Other people are much more likely to hear you with an open mind if you engage them with respect and honor. Sometimes we forget these people. Our government officials have been put into power by us, the people. They have been given this authority by God as well. It's sometimes hard to accept what some of our politicians are doing. It's hard to understand why they make the decisions that they make. It's hard to support and pray for our politicians when we don't agree with what they are doing. It is still, however, our responsibility to pray for them. Why should we do this? Peter says we should do it for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. For the Lord's sake, accept all authority, the king as head of state and the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish all who do wrong and to honor those who do right. We obey the government out of obedience to God. Whether we love the system of government we have or not, we are called to submit to it. Whether we love the leaders in our government or not, we are still called to submit. This is all because our highest master, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells us to submit to these lesser masters in civil government. Our ultimate loyalty still remains with God, but that doesn't give us the right to disobey our government unless it directly contradicts what God has taught us in the Bible. Having said all this, I come back to the statement I made at the beginning. Our faith compels us to fulfill our obligations to the government. Our faith also obligates us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God, worshiping Him alone. The faith we have as a result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can help us to discern how best we can live out our lives, taking into consideration our government and our God. My prayer for all of us is that we will continue to honor and respect the officials in office, and that we will continue to honor, glorify, and worship God alone. Amen.
Thank you for your words, Eric. Please stand with me as we respond with the song, King of My Heart, which is about God and Jesus, obviously, because He is our God and He is the King in our hearts that we need to serve.
The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, Oh, he is my song, 'cause you are good, good. Oh, and you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. The wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, good, oh. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, good. Oh. Good, good, whoa, you are good, good, oh.
Shall we pray? Dear God, we want to pray for all of our elected officials in government. Federal, provincial, and municipal. May they listen to your voice and follow your direction. I pray for us that we would continue to uphold them and support them as best we can. I pray for wisdom, courage, strength, respect, and honor for us if and when we are faced with a challenge of obedience to either our government or to you, God. Fill us with your love and your grace for those you have placed in power. Thank you for our country. Thank you for the blessings we receive from you. Thank you for being with us always. Go with us now as we leave this place of worship. Amen.